because I'm back here for a whole hour and I wait till right when the video's done to fix my pack. How y'all doing this morning? What's happening, everybody in East County, North County, and TV land, online land, Swazi land, wherever you are. Okay, God bless y'all. Everybody ready for church today? Very good, very good. There's no football on today. Ah, that's not football. The Pro Bowl. It's football, but it's just, you know. So. How many of y'all were here in all the campuses? How many of y'all were not here last week? You were not here last week. Raise your hand real quick. We're not going to call you out. Okay, you got the picture? Got the picture? Okay. Last week, we introduced to the church a tithe challenge to the people who weren't tithing. And there's a little form in your bulletin and where you commit to 90 days of tithing. Basically, if you're not tithing, you commit to 90 days of tithing. And if God doesn't bless you, according to what we talked about last week, and I'll just give a little taste of it today again, we'll give you your money back at the end of 90 days. And there's a form in your bulletin. You can sign it up. We had about 900 plus people sign up last week. Amen. Amen. And the blessing that God promises is not just financial. He could bless your health. He could bless your relationships, your career. I want to read a couple to you. These happen to be financial. One guy gave $100 more than his tithe because he felt God telling him to do that, by the way. And 3 days later, he got 26 times that in a bonus. And he was tripping because they don't do that at his job. It just came out of nowhere. And he wrote in bold letters, you know, this is amazing. Another lady was upside down in her finances. Started giving a tithing, and now her cash flow is positive, and $57,000 of her mortgage was forgiven. So God has amazing ways to show you that he will honor your faith. And it's not always going to be financial. Sometimes it'll be your health. Sometimes it'll be your relationship. And so you have that in your bulletin, and I want to encourage you. We'll talk a little bit about that today. We're going to talk about giving again, but I want to encourage you to take that out. If you're not a tither, to take the challenge, and in 90 days, you're going to see God bless you, and I encourage you last week to watch what God does. Amen? Amen. So let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you for being good to us. Thank you for being faithful to your word, always. And we pray you bless the word today. And Lord, I pray that people learn to just give their heart to you. We have to give our heart to you, and we have to put you first in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Yes, yes. Let's see your Bibles today. Let's see your Bibles today. Say word. Word. One more time, say word. Word. Turn to Luke chapter 6. Luke. Luke chapter 6. And it's good to be in the house of the Lord. I was in Virginia 3 days last week, and it was cold. Cold. It was so cold. We flew to Charlotte, and then we're supposed to go to Lynchburg, Virginia, Liberty University, and the plane was canceled, so we had to fly to Greensboro, then take a car 2 hours to Lynchburg. Driving in the snow wasn't that bad. It really wasn't that bad. I mean, there was hardly any snow on the ground, but it was just really cold. They canceled school in the morning. I was supposed to speak at the chapel. They canceled it. And then I did two night services and then the Friday morning. But I think Friday it was like 9. Just 9. Then I got back to San Diego, and it was 79. I was at a friend's house one day eating dinner. And after we all finished our dinner, even though some of us didn't finish all our food, we gave the leftovers to the dog. off the plate. Dog sits down under the table waiting for the scraps. And so after everyone finished eating, getting what they wanted, they gave leftovers to the dog. A lot of times we treat God like a dog. We give him leftovers. We give him leftovers of our time. We give him leftovers of our energy. Some of y'all have your prayer time at night, not necessarily because God told you to, because you just, he's not a priority in your life. And so when you get to the end of the day, you're tired, you may forget, go to bed, and then you miss God that day. And that can go on for your whole life, and you cheat God. And I believe that God deserves our best. Can I get amen? He gave us his best. We need to give him our best. And the Bible teaches us that our best is our first. Amen? And so I'm going to propose to you that if you want what you give God to be blessed to the maximum potential, you got to give God your first. I'm not only talking about money, even though we talked about tithing last night, and I'm going to give you a review on what we talked about last night, but you give them of your heart, of your day. When you get up in the morning, commit your day to God. There's a little frog in, I believe it's somewhere. I think it's Madagascar. It's called a tomato frog, and it's a red frog. And when the tomato frog is attacked, it leaks out white, milky poison all over its body. And then whatever's trying to eat it will spit it out of its mouth. And that's a pretty good defense mechanism. The only problem is he's leaking it out after he's already started to become chewed. So he's in his predator's mouth, and they're like, ah, it's nasty. And the brother's alive, but now he can't even hop. He's like, because he's all chewed up. And I think a lot of people do that. They get up in the morning, they go about their day, they're stressed out. The devil just take you through a meat grinder all day, and then you get to the end of the day and say, dear God, bless me. He's like, you missed the opportunity. And so now you want me to bless your sleep, but you don't really need me to bless your sleep because you're all wore out anyway. And so we got to give God our first. Now, let me review what we talked about last week. Tithing is a tenth part, 10%. It's in the Old Testament and New Testament. It's before the Old Testament law, in the Old Testament law. Jesus mentioned it in Matthew 23:23. These are in your notes. Tithing was of your gross, not your net. Your first fruits, which we're going to talk about today, giving of our first. If you want God to bless your gross, you tithe off your gross. If you want God to bless your net and save you a little tax money, you tithe off your net. I mean, that's a kind of a no-brainer. I want God to bless my gross. Can I get an amen? Okay, you want God to bless just your hand, just commit your hand to God. But if you want God to bless your whole body, your whole marriage, your whole career, you commit the whole thing to him. What does that mean? You say, Lord, how do you want me to use it? Doesn't mean give it away. How do you want me to use it? Okay, a tithe was a source of a blessing. 2 Chronicles 31:4. In the New Testament, it was a source of blessing. The tithe was there to support the ministry, not only the people in the ministry, but give them resources to bless the poor people. Giving removes a curse and secures a blessing because the tithe, the 10%, belongs to God. Malachi says if you have it in your possession, you're robbing God and robbing yourself of the blessing of getting rid of and giving back to God what it is. Tithing is actually returning, not necessarily giving, because it already belongs to God. So he gave it to you and said, let's see what you're going to do with it. I want it back, but I want you to give it to me voluntarily. In other words, I'm giving you what I want you to give me. When I was a little kid, we used to go to Catholic school. My mother used to give us money to put in the offering. It wasn't my money. It was her money. Her and my father, they both worked. It was their money, but they were giving it to me so I can give it back to the church so I can learn how to give. Okay, God says, I'm giving this to you, but it belongs to me, so I want you to give it back to me because I want you to learn how to give. Matter of fact, I have a theory on why opposites attract. God wants us to learn how to serve. How many of y'all are married or you're dating or you're interested in someone if you're interested in someone, you probably don't realize how much opposite you are because God doesn't reveal it until after we're married and we're stuck. Can I get an amen? And you go, how did this happen? My wife and I have actually had that conversation. How did this happen? But the reason that God does that is that he wants us, he attaches us to someone who is opposite of us, so, and makes us fall in love with someone who is opposite of us, because the only way it's going to work is if we serve each other. And in serving, we become purified. So God built it in. He says, you're going to be in love with somebody, you're going to fall in love with somebody, and you're going to get married, and then I'm going to open your eyes and show you it ain't as easy as you thought. And the only way it's going to work is if you serve each other. Ugh. I don't want to do that. I know, but that's what's going to make you more like me. That's why you're married to the person you are. And if you're dating someone that's all going great, just wait. Can I get an amen? I'm not saying it's going to get bad. It's just going to change. It's just going to change. Giving is not a money issue. It's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. You either want to do it or you don't. It has nothing to do with what you have. It has nothing to do with what you have. And the tithe challenge, again, it's in your bulletin, and I hope you take the tithe challenge. Today we're going to talk about giving God first. When you need advice, who do you go to first? You should go to God. God, I want to pray to you. When you have a tragedy, you should go to God first. When you need a miracle, you should go to God first. When you're sick, you should go to God first. He should be your first call. It costs no money. You don't need Wi-Fi. You don't need a cell phone. You get on your knees and you call to God first. Amen? That should be your response. Now, some people go to the bottle first. Some people go to cursing first. Some people go to throwing a temper tantrum first. You should go to God first. Just God, I don't know what's going on. And he'll say, you sure don't. So just trust me. Wait. We're going to look at four principles about giving first. Luke chapter 6. I went up to a car wash one day. And you know how you go to a car wash and they got car wash A, where they give you, you know, they wash your tires, vacuum inside, and wash your car, and then car wash B, where they put a little wax, and you get to pick a little air freshener, and they got all these different options. Say amen if you know what I'm talking about. And so I went there one day, I walked up, I said to the guy, you know, tell me what these are, blah, 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 and I said, I want B. And then he said to me, where's your car? I said, oh, I got to bring my car. He said, well, how am I going to wash your car if you don't give me the car? How are you going to get your clothes dry cleaned if you don't bring them to the dry cleaner? How are you going to get a haircut if you don't bring your hair to the barber? You can call him up, say, well, what kind of haircut you got, but you got to bring your hair to the barber. You got to give your hair to the barber. Can I get an amen? It makes sense? I mean, it's not rocket science. How is God going to bless your money if you don't give it to him? God, I want you to bless my life. Huh? I want you to bless my heart, but it's over here. But God says, well, you got to give it to me. I'm not going to bless it if you don't give it to me. People think in grace, oh, I'm just here, and, you know, I showed up. Richard Pryor back in the day was one of the funniest comedians ever in the world. How many of y'all know Richard Pryor? How many of you do not know who Richard Pryor is? You need to Google him, young ladies. But don't listen, he had a foul mouth, but he was hilarious. And he was make jokes about black people, white people. They were hilarious because they were so true. And he was talking about black people going to the concert late. Wanting to get a ticket the day of. I can hear a brother over here laughing. I don't even need to look. And he says, I'm dressed. You remember that? I'm dressed. You should give me a ticket. I'm just dressed. They just expect to show up. And the whole joke was, no, it doesn't work that way. You can't just say, God, I'm here, just bless me. You got to give him something. So look what it says. Luke, you ever thought you'd hear Richard Pryor joke made a Bible point? Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Look what it says. It says, and listen to me very carefully as you read your Bible. It will be given to you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It will be put into your bosom. Did I miss something? You're not paying attention. Read it closely and listen to what I say. Read your Bible closely and listen to what I say. It will be given to you. What am I missing? Give. He says, listen, if you give, it'll be given back to you. God's saying, I can't bless if you're not going to give it to me. It doesn't work that way. That's like all the people walking around today saying they haven't given their heart to God. They don't live for God. They don't do anything for God, but yet they expect God to bless them. Conversely, when God doesn't bless them, they get mad at God. God's like, how are you mad at me? You haven't even given me your heart. How am I going to bless your life? You got to give it to me. And then, okay, I'm only going to give you a little bit. Okay, well, I'll bless that little bit. That's a lot. You give me, wow, 2 hairs on your head. Okay. Look what it says. Give. Everyone say give.
Give.
Give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over will be put in your bosom. For with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Oh, yo, listen, you give to God. You give to somebody else, and by faith in God, God said, you know, I'm going to multiply, bless them back to you. Clarify, not always money. We're not necessarily always talking about giving money, and we're not necessarily talking about receiving money. We're talking about the blessings of God, the favor of God, the opportunities of God. Things that are done on your behalf, actually God's behalf through your life, because God has a plan for your life. Things that God does on his behalf through your life that make things so much easier. Does it mean you won't have drama? No, you're going to have drama. But you know what's great about drama is overcoming it. It's so good to get through drama. Amen? It's so good. I was watching one of my favorite entertainers, and I think is one of the most talented brothers people is Jamie Foxx. I know you. Jamie Foxx is hilarious. He could sing, play piano, and I don't know what other instruments, and play and act. And he's won awards and all that. And he was at an awards ceremony, and he was talking about in between scenes in this movie he made, they played a song from Fred Hammond called "No Weapon Formed Against Me Shall Prosper." And he starts singing this song. And it's only about a 30-second clip, and I probably listen to it 100 times because I want to hear him sing the whole song. But while he's singing this song, they show the crowd and people just standing up praising God. And this one actress was standing up, and you could, and again, I'm not trying to judge her, but it appeared that she was going through something. And God was getting her through. And she was saying, I know exactly what you are singing right now. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. You will have drama, but the blessings of God is that God gets you through it. Give to God your whole heart. And we talk about tithing. Give to God the money. Watch God bless you, pressed down, shaken, and multiplied over. Number two. Our gifts not only need to be given, but they need to be given first. Turn to Exodus, the second book of the whole Bible. Exodus chapter 22. God should be, do you know that dog spelt backwards is God? What's the significance of that? Maybe that it's backwards to treat God like a dog. God is not your servant. Don't use up all of your life, the best of your day, the best of your energy, the best of your thought process, the best of your money, the best of your resources, the best of everything for yourself, and then give God scraps. Say, God, I'm honoring the best back to you. How do you want me to use it? Look what it says, verse 29. It says, you shall not delay to offer the first of your ripe produce and your juices. The firstborn of your sons you shall give to me. Likewise, you shall do with your oxen and your sheep. It shall be with the mother 7 days, And on the eighth day, you shall give it to me, and you shall be holy men to me. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. It says, honor the Lord with your possessions. Chapter 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord with your possessions. Say honor. Say honor. This is what this whole thing is all about. Lord, I want to honor you with this. I want to honor you with this. I want to honor you with my money. I want to honor you with my relationships. I want to honor you with my car, my house. I want to honor you with it. And when you give me something, I want to honor you with it. I don't want to selfishly use it. I don't want to abuse it. I don't want to misuse it. I don't want to mismanage it. I want to honor you with it. And it says in verse 9, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase. Say first fruits. That means that when you have a bunch of apple trees in this context and you harvested the apples, the first portion goes to God. God, you're getting honored first. And by the way, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give, in this context, they would give it to the people serving in the ministry. Now you can eat, and now you can serve the poor. We're going to give you first. What are we saying by doing that? Lord, we are acknowledging you above all things. You are the provider of the fruit. You're the provider. So I am reminding myself, this is coming back to you. I am reminding myself, let me keep reading. Verse says, honor the Lord with your possessions, with the first fruit of your increase. Why? So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. In other words, you honor me, I will honor you. You honor me, I'll honor you. And some people say, well, I don't have anything to honor with. That's because you haven't been honoring. It might be you haven't been honoring. Honor God, watch him honor you. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, verse 10, to verse 8 to 10, he says, test me. The reason we have the 90-day tithe challenge, the reason we're saying we're going to pay your money back in 90 days if you're not blessed, because it's the only place in the Bible God said, test me. You put up or shut up. I'm putting up or shut up. And if you be faithful to me, I'm going to be faithful to you. And if it's not obvious, you test me, God said. You'll be overwhelmed. Look what he says. Honor me with your first fruits that your barns may be filled with plenty. Everyone say plenty. And your vats will overflow with new wine. Say overflow. How many of y'all want plenty blessing? How many of y'all want overflow blessing? And you know why God gives you overflow blessing? Not just so you can flow. I'm overflowing. He don't want you just to flow. He wants blessings to come out of your life into other people's lives. Some people, you ever have someone in your life and you see them coming and you may not say this, but you feel it. Oh, here they come. Let's go the other way. because you know, if you start talking to them, they're going to get a chunk of your flesh somehow. They're going to drain from you. Can I get an amen? You know, those people just drain, whether it be money, time, energy, brain damage, gossip. They're not overflowing. Then you got other people who you just want to be around them. You don't even need to talk. You just get in the overflow. You're like, yeah. How many of y'all want to be the overflow person? You know what God says? Give me the first. Not only your tithe, since we're talking about that, but give me the first of your day. Give me the first sentence out of your mouth. In every conversation, first sentence out of your mouth. Give me the first thoughts in your mind. When you go to work, before you get out of your car and you're at your job, pray for your day. Pray for your employees, the ones that talk about you and the ones that talk with you. Pray for them all. Watch me bless your life. If God doesn't bless your life, this is all fake. It's all fake. Oh, what's little prayer going to do? Try it and see. I went on a 40-day fast, and the guy said, I was teaching about fasting as I was on this 40-day fast, and the guy said, someone asked me in a seminar, what is not eating food got to do with your spiritual life? I said, brother, stop eating, and you will find out. For real. How many of y'all never fasted 40 days? Raise your hand. How many of y'all never fasted 30 days? Raise your hand. Let me tell you something. Stop eating. Your life will change. Your life will change. You have never been in that space before. You've never been in that space before. For all y'all who have been high before, let's try that. How many of y'all been high before? Raise your hand. My mom's sitting over there. My mom's sitting over there. Brother back here is going, yeah, me, I'm right here. I'm high right now. I'm high right now. I got high for 8 years. Marijuana, cocaine, last 2 years. Been high. I can't count how many times. When I fasted in 40 days and 40 nights, it was God's high. It was actually a different state. Can't get there. Drugs can't get you there. Drugs is a counterfeit. You got to give God. Number three, giving God first secures a blessing on the rest. Turn to Exodus, chapter 13. This is a very important concept. Everyone say firstborn. Jesus is called the firstborn and first fruits. Both words have first in them. Firstborn comes from what happened in Exodus. In Exodus, when the Jews were in slavery under the leadership of Pharaoh, the Egyptian king, Moses went and asked Pharaoh to let the people go. Moses and Pharaoh said no, and God sent down 10 plagues on the Egyptians over a couple-year period, and Moses was hard-hearted and would not let the people go. The final plague or miracle was that God had the angel of death kill the firstborn child in every household, male child, that didn't have the blood of a lamb on the door. And so the people who had faith enough to put the blood of the lamb on the door did not have their firstborn son die. So what happened was when all these firstborn sons died, that was the final straw that broke the camel's back where Pharaoh said, I will now liberate you and set you free. The death of the firstborn set the people free. Listen to what I'm telling you. The death of the firstborn set the people free. I'm going to say it three times. The death of the firstborn. Everyone say firstborn. When the firstborn dies, you can go free. The firstborn represents freedom to you. So look what it says in chapter 13, verse 11. It says, this is after it happened. It said, Exodus 13, 11, it shall be when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, the promised land, as he swore to you and your fathers to give to you, that you shall set apart to the Lord all that opened the womb, that is, every firstborn, that comes from an animal which you have, the males shall be the Lord's. In other words, every time you have a cow that has a firstborn, it's mine. Why? God wanted to remind you always of what set you free. Firstborn. Let's keep reading, though. It says, but every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. In other words, I don't want a donkey. I don't need a donkey. Give me a lamb instead. And if you will not redeem it, then you shall break its neck. If you don't have a lamb, just kill the donkey, kill the firstborn. And all the firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. In other words, your firstborn sons, they belong to me too. But you can keep it. I just want some. You're going to give me money for it, redeem it. But it's to remind you the importance of the firstborn. It's by the death of the firstborn in Egypt that you were set free. Verse 14. So it shall be when your sons ask you in the time, saying, what is this, that you shall say to them, by strength of the hand of the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the house of Pharaoh, that he killed the firstborn. Verse 15, and it came to pass when Pharaoh was stubborn about letting us go, that the Lord killed the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore, I sacrifice to the Lord all the males that open the womb but all the firstborn males, people, I shall redeem. It shall be a sign on your hand and on frontlets between your eyes, for by the strength of the hand of the Lord brought us out of Egypt. What God is saying is that every time you see a firstborn, I want you to be reminded that the firstborn, the death of the firstborn sets you free. You cannot have freedom without the death of the firstborn. Guess what the Bible says about Jesus? He's the firstborn. What does that mean? Jesus Christ. Look at Colossians, New Testament. I think it's the 7th, 8th book of the New Testament, 1:15. Right after Philippians, Colossians 1:15. I tell you, one of the most amazing things about the Bible, it was written over 1,600 years by over 40 people on 3 different continents, and it's all coordinated. And the Old Testament and the New Testament are coordinated. They're not separate. They are united. And look what it says in verse 15, Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. It says, Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God. The what? Ooh, whoa, what's that word? Say that word again. Say it real loud. He is the firstborn over all creation, man, animal, and earth, and plants, everything. In other words, Jesus Christ, the firstborn of God, gave his life that we can have life. God says, I'm going to kill the firstborn in Egypt so you can have freedom, so you can be delivered, so you can be set free from your bondage. I'm going to send my son Jesus, the firstborn of all creation, and guess what? He's going to die so you can be free. So you could be free. Giving first, this concept of giving first secures a blessing on what's left. Jesus' death, the firstborn, gives a blessing on the rest of us who's left. It says now you can be set free. Number four in your notes. Number four. Giving God first demonstrates faith that there's more to come. That there's more to come. Turn to 1 Corinthians, which is four books before where you are, chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Giving first is a sign that you trust more is to come. Everyone say more to come. I want you to imagine you have a little cow, it's a big cow now, and that cow is the source of your milk and eventually your meat maybe, and that cow is going to have babies. Some are going to be milk cows, some are going to be beef cows, but that cow is the source of your sustenance, your food. God says, I want the firstborn. Behold, God, I only got one. Well, I got, a male and a female. And that baby is my future. No. I want the baby. But God, what if that's the only baby I have? You got to trust me. That's the whole point. Everyone say trust. Oh, yes. Lord, I got my paycheck. I'm giving you first. I'm honoring you first. Whenever I walk out of a room or leave the house where my wife is, and whenever I walk back into the house or building where my wife is, when my wife comes here and I see her, every single time when I leave and when I come back, I give her a kiss. We give each other a kiss. I pay homage to the queen. It's automatic. If I don't walk in the house or she does, if we don't kiss, it's not only on me, it's on both of us. That means there's a fight. That means, okay, what's up with that? Even when we're not, things, we're in the middle of a little battle, we'll just go, it's got to happen. Got to happen. Got to pay homage to the queen. And so, so it's like every single time. Why? It is one of the ways we always want to make sure we're good. We always want to make sure we're right here. Matter of fact, when we hear a couple friends of ours have problems that we never thought would have problems, even though nothing surprises us anymore, we look at each other literally and say, are we good? We're good. Okay, come give me a hug. Okay. We need to, you know, we make sure. Okay, two of y'all got that. but I always have this go, boom, and every single time. Why? We want to make sure we acknowledge each other. God says, every time you get something, I want you to acknowledge me. I want you to acknowledge that I am the giver. Always. But Lord, I only got one cow. I want you to acknowledge that I'm going to take care of you, and you trust me that more is to come. Because if you give me the first one, you got to have another one. You're having faith that there's going to be another one, because if I don't get another one, I don't have any. God, I'm giving you this trusting. You're not going to leave me hanging. So when I tithe, I'm not saying I now go from 100% of what I get to 90%. No. I'm trusting God's going to make it up somehow. It's a sign of trust. If I don't do it, it's a sign I don't trust God. Simple. So first fruits is a symbol that more is to come. Look what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It says, Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Woo! Hold up now. Everybody's dead. Bunch of people are dead. Jesus rising from the dead is a sign that there's more to come. Whoa. I'm going to say it again slow. I'm going to illustrate. Jesus rising from the dead is a sign that there's more to come. All these people are dead. The fact that Christ rose from the dead is the first fruits of other people who are dead are going to rise from the dead. Let's read it again. Look what it says. It says, Christ is risen, verse 15, Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of all the other people who are dead. For since by man came death, the Adam and Eve man, by capital M man, Christ, also came the resurrection from the dead. For as in Adam, the first Adam, all died because Adam and Eve sinned, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order. Christ, the first fruits after those who are Christ at his coming. So Christ is saying, Christ rising from the dead is the first fruits. Christ dying is the firstborn. Him dying as the firstborn of all creation, he is saying, I'm giving an opportunity for all you to be saved and all you to be liberated from slavery. Him rising from the dead saying, I'm the first fruits and the sign that there's more to come. The whole Bible is so coordinated. Two things. One, when you give, Lord, I'm giving to you first. I'm honoring you first, and I'm going to say I trust you, and I believe there's more to come. So I'm honoring you first with my tithe. I'm honoring you first with my offering. I'm honoring you first with my heart. I'm honoring you first with my body. Everything, you're first. I'm putting you first. You're not going to be a dog under the table anymore. Not going to be a dog under the table. And then there's some of you saying, and then the other part is that God is saying, Christ is the firstborn. He has made the door, opened the door for you to be saved. He's opened the door for you to be blessed, but you have to give your heart. Some of you want God's blessing, but you haven't given him your heart. You've given him attendance on Sunday twice a month. He wants more than that. Okay, I'll come every week. Nope, he wants more than that. I'll go to a small group. He wants more than that. Okay, I'll read the Bible in the morning. He wants more than that. He wants 24/7. Matt, can you imagine trying to date somebody and say, yo, girl, you know, I'm a little rusty. I give you 5 days a week. I got this other girl, you know, it's hard juggling all y'all. I got women's. I need 7 days. God needs all your heart. But he's not going to bless you unless you give it to him. So in a minute, we're going to pray. You can have an opportunity to give your heart to God, give your life to God. You have the tithe challenge. If you haven't signed up, sign up. Put it in the box. But right now, let's pray real quick. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your faithfulness. Lord, there are people here right now, they need to give their heart, their whole heart. They need to give to you what they want blessed. They need to give their business, their relationship, something. They need to give it all to you and not complain it's not blessed because they haven't given it to you. Eyes closed, heads bowed. If you're ready to give to God your whole life, and you're saying, God, I want you to bless my whole life. I'm tired of playing games, trying to see how much I can get away with. I'm ready for you to bless my whole life. Right now, eyes closed. I just want you to take 5 seconds to think about it. You've already been thinking about it for an hour. If you're ready to give God your whole life, in the privacy of your heart, just say yes. Are you ready to give God your whole life? If you are, in the privacy of your heart, say yes. So right now, all campuses, wherever you are, if you said yes, I'm going to ask you right now, eyes closed, heads bowed, to just stand up. Stand up if you said yes. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. Stand up if you said yes. God bless you. Anybody else? Good, good, good. We see you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Good. God bless you. Good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? Stand up. Stay standing. Very good. God bless you. Good. 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 Very good. We see you. God bless you. Good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Now I'm going to ask all of y'all who are standing, in a minute we're going to ask you to come down to the altar. If you're in the balcony, all you got to do is turn around and walk up, and the ushers will bring you down. So right now, if you're standing up, come up out of your seat, come on down to the altar, and let's give them a hand as they come on down. Let's give them a hand as they come on down. Amen. Come on, come on. Let's give them a big hand. Amen. God bless you, brother. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen.